Given the recent diplomatic thaw between the U.S. and North Korea, it's easy to forget that these countries' leaders were threatening mutual annihilation only last year. As part of that escalation, the U.S. Missile Defense Agency began exploring the possibility of constructing a ground-based defensive radar system in Hawaii. And all this week, the U.S. Missile Defense Agency is holding public meetings in the communities near proposed building sites. The first one was last night at Sunset Elementary School on the North Shore, and the conversation's Ryan Finity was in attendance, brought back this report.
In the summer of 2017, as threats from both sides continued to fly, the commander of U.S. Pacific Command testified before the House Armed Services Committee.
My personal opinion is that we would be better served with a defensive Hawaii radar and interceptors in Hawaii.
Admiral Harry Harris has since been nominated to serve as the U.S. ambassador to South Korea and praised the recent diplomatic efforts by North Korea, South Korea, and the United States. But his sentiments about the need to increase Hawaii's missile defense infrastructure have turned into action. The U.S. Missile Defense Agency is exploring sites on Oahu for a homeland defense radar. Part of that process involves meeting with residents of nearby communities. There are three potential sites being evaluated, one on Ka'ena Point and two in the mountains above Oahu's North Shore. The MDA's Deputy Director, Rear Admiral John Hill, is in Hawaii this week to speak with community members. I caught him before last night's meeting at Sunset Elementary School.
Let me start off by just kind of reviewing the mission of the Missile Defense Agency. Three short points. The first one is building out reliability so that we have the confidence of the warfighters. And so it's important that everything works the first time. This is a no-fail mission for us. The second piece is building out capability and capacity. And capability and capacity isn't always just missiles. Most people think of missiles when we say capability or capacity. But the sensor piece is critically important because that's what starts the whole kill chain. In order for us to effectively defend the United States, we have to be able to see it first. And so the sensor is important, and that's what the HDRH brings to Hawaii, is that sort of sensing capability. And then our third piece is addressing the advanced threat, and that's really the driver behind this radar. So when I get into why we need the radar for Hawaii, the islands are protected today by the ground-based missile defense system. So the ground-based interceptors in Alaska and in California defend Hawaii, and they do it very well. And the combatant commanders know how to deploy the system. We know when it's going to activate. We understand how to detect, control, and engage. But what will happen over time is that threat will become more complex. And the complexity of that threat drives us to be able to look out a lot further from the target area. So if Hawaii is a target, then we want to be able to have the kind of energy and power and sensitivity to detect much earlier in the kill chain so that we can guide that missile to that intercept point further away from the islands. And so complexity is what drives that. And so the positioning of this radar is just a strategic significance to the United States.
So can you explain what specifically will this radar be doing in the chain of missile defense, going, starting from, say, there's a launch somewhere in the Eastern Asia to here?
Sure. Yeah, so the way the kill chain normally starts is we'll get help from overheads, right? So our space assets will normally catch the initial part of the launch. And then in order to really understand the track and where it's going, we pick it up by radar. And so today we transition right over to the radars. The radars really lock in on that track. We move from basically a simple detection to establishing a track. And once we have a track, they're all very complex. Anytime you put anything into space, there's space debris, there could be fuel debris, there could be interesting countermeasures that the adversaries might be using. And so this kind of radar allows you to see it a lot earlier, hand off from the radars that are in closer to the launch site. Could be ships in the area that are picking it up. Could be the sea-based X-band radar that we have today, but having a radar in Hawaii that detects out further and then picks out the lethal object or the reentry vehicle, that's what we want to be able to do, is pick that out early so that we can engage it with a ground-based interceptor.
Admiral Harry Harris, who is the former commander of Indo-Pacific Command, stated previously that one of his big concerns was that, not that the missile defense system was inadequate, but that it was capable of being overwhelmed by multiple targets. Is this radar going to help address that problem?
Absolutely. So when I say power and sensitivity, that immediately takes you into the world of being able to handle much larger raid sizes. And so that's an additional thing that you get from that kind of power and sensitivity, is the ability to handle raids.
And so to be clear, this project would just be building a radar. We're not talking about installing missiles in Hawaii at this time, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. Absolutely not. There are no intentions from the Department of Defense or combatant commanders to put missiles anywhere on the islands. This is about that early part of the kill chain, detection, and doing the discrimination. And again, discrimination means picking out that reentry vehicle.
Early reports stated that the agency, the Missile Defense Agency, had a pretty lengthy list of possible sites for this radar. I think it was over 40, and it's now been narrowed down to just three. They're all on the north shore of Oahu. How did those three sites become the finalists for this radar?
Well, you know, we always get a lot of help when it comes down to siting, but it all starts with an analysis of alternatives. And so we look at performance first and what it means for operations. And so having it out far to the west was the first look. So we wanted to as much battle space as we could get. So that first western, and because we had a range out there, we had an existing set of radars out on the west coast of Kauai there at the Pacific Missile Range Facility. So there's a lot of traction to look at that. But when we took a look at the impact to that range, we immediately started looking at other options out of that list of 46, and turns out that the sites on Oahu are very effective, gets us the kind of battle space that we need, and probably more likely in terms of location and acceptance by the local communities and by the state to have that radar located here in Oahu.
In building anything in Hawaii, there are kind of tend to be more cultural concerns, both just in terms of general development and disturbing of cultural sites. What steps is the agency taking to address those concerns that are raised by community members?
Well, you're in on the ground floor of any sort of, anytime you go in to establish a military site, the siting selection is very, very important, and the local community is very important. My mother grew up on this island, and so she used to tell me stories about different parts of the island and the ecology and the environment and things that had to be protected, ancient Hawaiian cultural things that need to be protected. And so I'm very sensitive to that. So we're starting in early, so we're a couple years out. We're going to go through the full environmental impact statement process, the full site selection. We're going to get feedback from the state, from the local communities before we proceed. So right now, the way the schedule lays out is, although we want to be able to field that radar in 2023, we don't start constructing until 2021, and that environmental impact statement will be complete prior to that. And so it's really the long pole to get to the radar, because we want to do it right, and we're starting early. These scoping sessions that we're doing with the local communities, very important, because we're going to get some feedback. We're going to hear things that maybe we haven't thought of yet, and that's just of great value as we go through the decision cycle.
There have been a few other high-profile projects in the state, the 30-meter telescope, for example, the Honolulu Rail project, that have suffered some delays and some setbacks due to construction issues and community opposition. Are you looking at those projects at all and trying to learn some lessons from them as you begin this process?
We are, and we have erected other sites, and we have a site that's ongoing now in Europe where we're struggling with construction. And the only way that you can come through that is to stay close to the local communities, work with the federal governments and the state governments in those areas, and just come to an agreement on what's the right thing to do. So starting earlier, if we could determine through this whole process that the three sites that we're assessing here in Oahu are absolutely the wrong sites, don't know. But that's all part of the process, and feedback again from the local communities, looking at everything from archaeology to environment to ecology, the whole bit. We've got to look at all of that. It's a pretty complex set of steps, but we're going to go through all of that step by step, and this is an important piece of it.
And Admiral, for those community members who aren't able to attend one of these three meetings that you're holding this week, what's your message? What would you like to say to them?
Yeah, I think what I'd like to say is within this scoping community discussion tonight, we have a Hawaiian language interpreter there that will take oral statements. We have forms that can be filled out on site by anybody that's visiting tonight, and they don't have to turn it in tonight. They can take their time on it. So if anybody wants to get to us, we can provide that contact information, and we can take those statements at any point. Any concerns, anything that we should be looking at that maybe we're not, we'd love to hear that.
More than 20 staff members from the Missile Defense Agency were on hand to address concerns and answer questions from local residents. Here's what a few of those residents had to say.
Well, it's a start. I've been involved with many EIS processes and public scoping meetings, and it's a start. It's a very long process, but tonight is the first of three, as you folks know, and it was very good, informative, And, you know, it's an opportunity where they can come, the public can come and get more educated about the project itself. And then from there, they can go from, you know, pros and cons. My part that I will be very sensitive to is the cultural aspects of both site locations. Like I said, this is the early stages. We're getting to meet all the different players, and we'll go from there.
I'm opposed to the installation of yet another military installation. And the military already controls 85,718 acres on Oahu alone. And I was just told by more than one military specialist here that Oahu is already well protected. So that given, I don't know how or why they can justify 160 acres on this island, especially since there's such a large population, the whole North Shore behind it. And if key radar stations were to be attacked by another country, that would make the whole North Shore a bigger target than it already is. So I have that concern. And someone just said, a military person just said that it'll make us safer. I don't believe that. I fear that it'll make us less safe. And especially given that we're already well protected, I do not think we need another military installation.
It's a beginning. The most important part is to find out how these agencies actually maintain and care for the properties that may eventually come back to Hawaii. Yeah? So our hope is that we have an opportunity to have clear discussion, you know, and then help them understand where they are in relation to our national treasures. Yeah. So both what we term as Kua Okalau and O'io are these specific areas where they look at trying to do this program right now. So we take the first steps, come to the meeting, listen to what they get to say, and then eventually try to get back on the land to get a better understanding for them too as to, you know, how to proceed if it's that important to do so.
That was Thomas from Mokulaia, Krista from the North Shore, and Tom from Wahiwa.
If all goes according to plan, the agency will break ground on the new radar site in 2020 with plans to be operational by 2023. From the North Shore, I'm Ryan Finnerty for The Conversation.
That story was about the Missile Defense Agency, which will be holding public meetings tonight at Keihi Lagoon Memorial Park in Honolulu, tomorrow evening at Waianae High School. The public can also submit written comments until July 23rd. The issue is that the U.S. Missile Defense Agency is looking into the possibility of constructing ground-based defensive radar here in Hawaii. They're looking at possible sites for that and holding public meetings in the communities affected. We'll have details for those events posted along with this story at our website at hawaiipublicradio.org.